Good morning, everyone. I've been called many names. Very often it is Abe, but I've never been Mark Swatsky before. So, and that is all right. We're all allowed a few mistakes here and there, and channels get crossed occasionally. By way of introduction, as I was introduced, I'm Art Weeb. My wife Kathy is here. She just grew up, I think it's about a mile and a half north of here on the AAS Friesen farm. And I grew up just a little bit east of here in the village of Oosterwijk. And I lived there till 10 years ago when Kath and I had opportunity and the Lord saw fit for us to move into the town of Winkler at that time, and later it turned into a city. We have three daughters. Two attend this church here, Frank and Vanessa Wheeler and Lynette and Elias Flores. And our middle daughter, she's at home. I think she had a 12-hour shift as a nurse this last night, so she didn't come to worship with us this morning. Today is set aside as Mother's Day, and I think it's wonderful to recognize our mothers and to pay tribute to those that maybe have passed on before, to honor them, to honor those that we still have with us. And when I think back to my mother, there are some fond memories and some things that I didn't understand back then, I understand today. And when I was elected as a pastor, she revealed something to me she had never, ever shared. And then it helped me to understand why she was so, I thought, overly protective. I was the oldest of three, and it always seemed to me that my younger brother and sister, they got away with a lot more than I ever had gotten away with. But after I was elected into the ministry, she told me that while she had been carrying me, and she'd been pregnant with myself, she had had this revelation that the child she was carrying would someday be a pastor in a church. And it was so real to her, she never even, her and dad never even, when it came to naming the baby, thought of girl names. She was so convinced that this child she was carrying would be a son. Well, then it helped me to understand, she, in her mind, she would protect me from the sins of this world. She would protect me from any evil that could ever come my way. And at the time, I often didn't appreciate it a whole lot. You know, there's been instances that I can recall, and I know this sounds negative, but when certain neighbor boys would come over, she would send them home. You don't play with those type of people, you know, and I couldn't understand it then, and I would do things differently if that happened in our neighborhood. But that was her thinking of how to protect me maybe from bad influences. And, you know, I have to admit, some of those influences were not positive. But honoring parents, as you read in Ephesians 6, verse 2, to honor mother and father, today we'll focus on honoring mothers, is a simple but is it a very important statement that is repeated in the Bible several times. And if we even go back to the Old Testament in the book of Exodus in chapter 20, one of the Ten Commandments includes in verse 12, honor your father and your mother. And then it gives us a promise there that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Almost it gives us an understanding that longevity will be a blessing for honoring parents. Now, I wouldn't want to go to the extent of saying that if there's an unexpected death and someone dies at a relatively young age, it is because someone didn't honor their parents. There is things that are beyond our understanding and reasons why God allows certain things to happen. But there's a lady in our church, and my home church is the Winkler Summerfeld Church, and she just celebrated 100th birthday last November, if I recall correctly. Her mind is sharp as a whistle. She just called me this last week yet about some concerns in regards to her will and all that kind of stuff. She wanted some a second opinion and some advice, and, you know, it's just amazing, and I sometimes have been tempted to ask her, when you were younger, did you really honor your mom and dad? Or why is it that you've been blessed with so many years, good health, a clear mind, she lives on her own, she takes care of her own apartment. Only help she has is someone coming in to vacuum her apartment once a week. Truly a blessing from the Lord. Then in Matthew, in chapter 15, Jesus quoted these same words again in chapter 15, verse 4. He says, honor thy father and thy mother. So Jesus reaffirmed that. And what we're doing today is very appropriate. And then even later in Ephesians 6, verse 2, that we just read as an opening scripture, the Apostle Paul, he again applied those words to everyday life. So today, The emphasis is to honor mothers. And when we honor someone, we need to evaluate that person very accurately, honestly, and be totally open about what that person has done. And then we give that individual, and today especially mothers, the due respect. We show them kindness. We give them courtesy that her type of character demands. My encouragement, of course, would be, let's not just do it today. This should be a lifestyle of honoring parents at all times as we go through life here on earth. But firstly, let's honor a mother's sensitive spirit. Mothers, I think, have the most sensitive spirit than anyone has. We as men, we often fall short in being sensitive to the needs of our children, being sensitive to others. And even if we look at the mother of Mary, in Luke chapter 2, we see her sensitivity to the needs of her son and how special Jesus was to her. And if we look at chapter 2 of Luke and verse 19, first of all, where it says, Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. You know, the things that the angels had told her that would happen to this child or that she would bear this child, she kept that in the storehouse of her heart. She treasured it dearly. That is capacity that mothers have. And mothers remember details that happen to children, to their family, and they're so sensitive to their children's needs. They provide for them, as we just heard in that little narration just a few minutes ago, how mothers give without expecting anything in return. They sacrifice so often. They observe their children, and when they act maturely, they rejoice. They encourage them. But they also have the exact opposite capacity. When a child is disobedient and hurts the family name, we could say, or rebels, mothers hurt deeply. I think they hurt much deeper than us as fathers, even though we often hurt. But very often they might come to oneself as a father or to her husband and share her concern for her child. And from personal experience, I know where I sometimes just want to sort of play it down and don't bother me too much with this. And yet we as husbands, as dads, we need to respect that sensitivity. We need to be open to that and to allow her to share with us when her heart is burdened because of her child. In Proverbs 10:1, it says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You know, exactly. We as dads often can become very proud when our children do well, when they succeed in life. When they don't, we just sort of go along. But mothers, when children don't excel or don't succeed in life, when they make bad choices, they still love, but it also just breaks their heart. And it puts, as Proverbs 29:15 says, it brings the mother to shame. They often carry, and that's another thing, when I reflect on my mom, I couldn't often understand why she so much felt if certain things I did or her other two children did, that it would bring shame to her. That's our thing. Don't worry about it, mom, type of an attitude is what I often had. And yet, this sensitivity is a God-given capacity. It is a daily reality. And as we mature and grow older, we learn to recognize it, to respect it, and to honor it. I know of a mother that was concerned about her son. She said, the company he keeps is very bad. I am brokenhearted. A mother has the capacity to be brokenhearted. And let's not despise or reject that spirit, but let's honor that spirit of brokenheartedness. That brokenheartedness often drives mums to their knees to pray earnestly and just plead on their child's behalf to the Lord, please protect him or her. Put your arms of love around them. May they sense your presence, Lord, that they will be drawn to you. And as we recognize this attitude in our mothers, I also, on the other hand, want to encourage all of you as mothers, don't be ashamed of this God-given capacity that God has given you. But I'd rather want to encourage you, cultivate it, guard it dearly, share it with your husband, and most of all, and most importantly, dedicate that sensitive spirit to God to be used by him in reaching out to others. Secondly, let's also honor a mother's sincere faith. Paul, he reminded Timothy of this in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and in verse 5, where he talks about, you might have noticed I used the King James Version. It's not that I'm that set on it, but in our church, that is the Bible of choice. And last week when I was preparing for this message, I thought I'd maybe use a more common version that was common to you, but I found myself struggling somewhat because of what I've been used to. So here Paul writes to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, or we would today maybe say the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul, he was a mentor to Timothy, and he recognized that Timothy's faith, his sincere faith in God, was as a result of his grandmother and his mother's influence in his life. You know, mothers, don't ever underestimate the power of your prayers. Don't ever underestimate your concern for your child, how important it is and how it can have a far-reaching effect in their lives. And this faith is, in a sense, faith in two ways. Number one, it is a faith that the mother lives out by her example. It is her daily life, it is her attitudes that is an influence to others. And her influence can be for good or for evil. And there's nothing that can compare to the influence of a mother. You know, as a young boy, someone once told me, and I was in my teens already, he says, "You're a little mummy's boy." You know, and that really hurt. I didn't appreciate that. I felt as if I wasn't amounting to much in life because of it. But later, I realized some of the decisions I made because mom influenced me not to do certain things was for my own protection, and it prevented me of making a lot of bad choices that I was often exposed to in my younger years. But the influence of mothers is powerful. In the Old Testament, there's a few instances of negative influence and how it affected kings of their day. In the book of 1 Kings in chapter 22 and in verse 52, it says, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jehoiakim, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin." So the evil influence also works in a negative way in a child's life. And then also quickly to 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 3. "He also walked in the way of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly." You know, so if we just recognize the influence of mums, and then if we turn it around, if that influence is positive, that is where great leaders come out of for church, for our country. You know, our country is very often a direct result of what the home is like, what mom and dad have taught their children, the values, the morals, and so on. And it is very often the mother who really has the influence in a child's life. And it is this faith that a mother teaches. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 1 and in verse 8, the writer encourages us, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." You know, give good attention to what your parents are trying to teach you, but especially, he says, don't forsake the encouragement of your mom. Honor it, respect it, and listen to it. We're, in a sense, divinely forbidden to forsake the teaching of parents, and mom's rules are important. And this identical emphasis is repeated and strengthened also in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. "And if we are not to forsake her teaching when we are young, neither are we to look upon her in her old age and mock her or ridicule her." In Proverbs in chapter 23 and in verse 22, the writer says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Honoring parents, honoring mothers, I think is important regardless of what stage of life we are. I've had the occasional conversation overheard a conversation where someone talked about negative things that happened in his or her life in the home, And maybe mom and dad weren't exactly as to what we would expect them to be as godly parents. And they dwelt on these things. And the parents later in life, they changed. And they have passed away and they've been gone for a number of years. And still those old stories keep arising and arising. I pray that someday these people will see the light that they're dishonoring their parents. You know, even though they're dead, it is important to still speak respectably of them. Even if those negative things are reality, every person has positive things in their lives. I recall a conversation with a young man, and he talked about his dad, very abusive, always putting his son down. And he says, and it was Father's Day, and he says, "How can I honor my father?" And I started asking him questions and a lot of negative responses. But then I started asking him, "How about as far as your physical needs, were they provided? Did you always have food on the table?" "Yes," he said, "even though Dad drank heavily, he was a good provider. We had enough to eat, we had good clothes to wear, and our needs were met as far as school and so on." It says, honor your dad for the positive things that were there, even though there are many negatives outweighing the positive. And likewise with mothers, you know, they're not perfect beings, and we sometimes put a lot of pressure on them. When we look at what we'll be doing shortly at Proverbs 31, it talks about a virtuous woman. A woman, it lists some characteristics of a woman. But let's honor all the positive things that are there. Let's honor, thirdly, a mother's servant spirit. And let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31, and let's read through verses 10 to the end of the chapter. And sometimes I have to admit, I'm somewhat reluctant to read these verses because it can also almost make a mother feel as if, how in the world am I ever going to measure up to this? And she can despair and just sort of throw her hands up in the air and say, how am I ever going to live up to this? But let's rather use this as an encouragement and something to strive for, and not something that maybe all of us would perfectly attain, but all of you have some of these characteristics in you. And I sometimes wonder when the writer wrote this whether he was just referring to one woman or whether this is the gifts of many different women, but you sort of put that together, and all together it brings honor and glory to God. It starts off in verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She arises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands holdeth a staff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Take note of some of the specific description God's word gives of a mother who possesses the heart of a servant. It is a beautiful picture of an excellent wife and a mother's whose worth is invaluable. As it said here, far above rubies. You know, her influence, the work that she does for her family is more valuable than we can even put into dollars and cents. And notice, she is never a threat to her husband. She never is in competition with him, according to verses 11 and 12. Her servant spirit extends to her family, and she delights in serving them. You know, mothers will so often sacrifice their time, their own comfort for us as a family. Who's the one, when there is a need, as we heard in that little narration earlier, that is willing to give up her piece of the pie? You know, that is just one of few examples of the many ways that mothers often give up their own enjoyment and their own comforts. She prepares, as we read here, meals diligently. She's not lazy. She rises up while it's yet daylight, before daylight, to provide for the needs of her family, according to verses 13 to 15. And then verse 16 talks about she even has time to consider investments. You know, that practically blows me away. You know, I've watched my wife and how she cared for our family and how that was a full-time job and how women can have time to assist the family income. It is amazing. She's physically strong. She looks after her own health. She's industrious to even work at night, as the scriptures here mentioned. She's a servant to the poor and the needy, according to verse 20. She assists family in finances, verse 24. Strength and dignity are her qualities, and she's able to smile at the future, according to verse 25. She thinks not of herself, but speaks wisely and kindly to others. In such a person, there is no idleness. Rather, she looks well to the ways of her household, according to verse 27. And then, if we look at verses 28 to 31, her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also. You know, I want to encourage us as husbands. Let's not just today, but throughout the time of the year, encourage our wives. Say something positive. Compliment them. We know how much it means to them to tell them you're beautiful, to tell them that outfit looks nice on you, and the list could go on and on. They so often fish for praise. And I don't know, maybe you men aren't the way I am, but I'm sometimes very slow at giving praise. If I'm asked, how does this outfit look? Good enough. That's not what she wants to hear. She'd love to hear, it's beautiful. You know, and why don't we say it? They're sensitive. They like to be encouraged. They so often spend so much time doting on the family. And even after we're empty nesters, they love and they care for the grandchildren. They dot on them. Let's encourage them when they do ask of a compliment. Let's give it. And let's give it before it is even being asked for. To honor her, to praise her, is definitely something that all of us should do at the right time. Let's honor a mother's servant spirit. In conclusion, mothers who have qualities like those of the woman in Proverbs 31 are worthy of honor. And these qualities are possible as the Holy Spirit is allowed freedom to develop them in a mother's life. And this challenge I'd like to ring out to every mother this morning. And then let us, as sons and daughters, fulfill our responsibility by showing them genuine respect. And if we do that, that honors our mothers, but it also honors God, because He is the one that has blessed us with loving mothers. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we come before You. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that has spoken to us this morning. And I thank You, Lord, for providing us with loving mothers that cared for us, that sacrificed on our behalf, and looked out for the well-being of our physical needs, our spiritual needs, Lord. We just praise You for Your goodness to us through someone as loving and kind as a mother. And this morning, Lord, as we depart from here, may Your blessing rest upon each and every mother in a very special way. But Lord, this morning we also want to be sensitive to those that would love to be a mother and for reasons that we sometimes don't understand, cannot bear children. Lord, just comfort their hearts and make Yourself known to them. May You strengthen them in these difficult days. Lord, we thank you for your love, your kindness, your mercy, and goodness. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.